Kansas State President Schultz says the university is looking at an increase in student numbers come fall. And while an exact count will not be available until the fall semester is underway, Dr. Schultz says the increase looks to be in the neighborhood of 23,700 students.
Our enrollment this last year was slightly in excess of 23,500 total headcount. We're going to probably be up another couple hundred students this next year. So we don't know the numbers, frankly, until everybody shows up in the fall. But I'd expect to see another 200 bodies on campus this next year, which is increasingly we are out recruiting other schools in the state. And we are now the preferred choice for Kansas high school graduates as Kansas State University.
I know the university will not have any exact numbers until after fall enrollment, but where will most of these new students live, and is there room on campus for the increase?
The majority of our first-year students or freshmen will be in the residence halls, but we have other people like sophomores and juniors who kind of like the residence halls, and so some of them traditionally have stayed in the residence halls the whole time as opposed to first year in the residence hall and then moving to an apartment or something else like that.
We're asking some of those students that have been in the residence halls to opt out of their contracts and are offering some money. Is that correct?
Exactly. So what we elected to do is, the good thing is we've got these new students coming in. The challenge is that we just don't have enough beds and residence halls to accommodate what we expect to be really a large incoming class, plus the ones who already want to stay there. Last year, we had students stay in a hotel. And one, we just don't think that's the appropriate venue for students. So what we decided to do this year is, instead of trying to just kick people out, is to put an incentive and say, well, look, we'll give you a one-time $1,000 scholarship for upperclassmen who are in these dorms, in these residence halls, that to allow them to kind of move off campus and incentivize that a little bit to open up more beds for those first-year students coming in.
One of the concerns has been that Manhattan has been kind of looking at a landlord rental regulations. Will the students have the same protections if they move off campus that they would have in campus housing?
You know, we're still working with the City Commission on this particular topic. Right now, they have passed a pretty rigorous rental inspection set of guidelines to make sure that students are living in safe places that are appropriate for them to live and work and so forth. The City Commission is probably going to pass something in early July that's going to change that a little bit. But still, we want to ensure that students are living in safe places. It may not be as thorough as like a home inspection if I was going to buy a home, but we're going to make sure that people are living in places that have fire alarms and stuff works properly. And that's important for the Manhattan community, because the last thing we want is students to move out of residence halls that we know exactly how safe those are to somewhere in the community that may be cheap but not a safe place for them to live.
Is there something that the university itself can do, some kind of a bully pulpit or something, to make sure its students are safe?
That's a big challenge for us. One is, we can certainly continue to work with the City Commission along with the Fort. Fort Riley also is very concerned about safe housing for soldiers who happen to live over in the Manhattan area. Interestingly, I was talking to a City Commission member about this earlier today, and he mentioned that this was an issue in 1980 when he was here. So that this has been around for a long time in the Manhattan area, and we've really just started to make progress on it. So we want to continue as a university to speak forcefully that it is important for our students to live somewhere safe. We need to use the political process to make sure that we're doing everything that we can in this regard. And if that doesn't work, then we have to look at some other options of how we can ensure maybe a safe housing list that we publish to say, hey, these are places that we believe are safe to live. So there's many ways to skin a cat. We're going to let the political process go forward, and if that doesn't work and we don't feel appropriate, then we're going to take other steps.
Speaking of the political process, this legislative session is over, done, everything's set and ready to go. How did we do?
It's a mixed report card for us. So we took a general fund cut of about 1.2% in rough numbers, approximately, say, $2.5 million. Now, we got some additional money, though, allocated for some specific programs. So Governor Brownback has a very strong interest in seeing us continue to help in the animal health area. So we got a $5 million annual allocation, at least for the next 5 years, so $25 million, to support animal health-related activities at Kansas State, veterinary medicine, animal science, things like this. We also got a commitment of $3.5 million a year for 10 years, or $35 million for engineering. So overall, general flexible money that we can use for whatever we need to at the university, we took a cut. For some specific programs of importance to the state of Kansas, we had a very good year. So considering the difference a year ago was we took just a cut, this was a good year for us.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Dr. Kirk Schultz. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.